And welcome to Aviation Consumer's continuing podcast series on the world of aviation products and services. Here's Aviation Consumer Editor-in-Chief Paul Bertarelli.
We're speaking today with Bob Barron, President of Barron Services. You may not have heard of Barron Services, but you've definitely seen its products in the form of those dramatic animated weather radar depictions most television stations use these days. And if you're a pilot flying with XM radio-based WeatherWorks, you're probably using Bob Barron's work every day. Bob, I don't think it's too much of an exaggeration to say that your career in the weather dissemination business pretty much tracks the history of cockpit data link. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got started in WeatherLink and where you think the industry is going?
The company actually started with applying live radar and integrating it with strike-by-strike lightning and came up with this process of identifying where the heart of a storm was and where it was going to be over the next 15 minutes and who it was going to affect. And that product called Fast Track has become the standard for the broadcast community. Usually when there's severe weather, you'll see people tracking storms, and that's our technology. It took us from the displays to the manufacturer of radars, and we've become the number one manufacturer of Doppler weather radars here in this country. And from that into processing for value-added weather information, modeling for the future. We have a division that's located in Asheville, North Carolina, that's responsible for some major new hydrological work in Romania that we can kind of inter-apply to the different areas of the company. And, of course, a major proportion of the company is the work that we're doing to supply timely and accurate data to the cockpit.
Now, if we run the clock back just a little bit in 1990, probably most of us don't recall that in those days, television stations really didn't have much in the way of live weather radar, did they?
They did not, and certainly not the kind of technology that we have today that's represented in Doppler weather radar and the even newer dual polarization type radar. We had what was called conventional radar at the time. Major stations had it, but we really just didn't have very much access to good data back in that day and age. Actually, over the years, we probably supplied about 150 radar to the broadcast community, and I really take a large degree of satisfaction in hearing that our television stations are doing such a good job for their clients during severe weather across the country.
Now, you mentioned that you're a pilot. What do you fly?
I fly a Lance and love it. It's about my speed and wonderful aircraft.
Somehow I was expecting you to say you fly a Barron.
Well, to be honest, I'm not twin-engine certified, but if I were, that would certainly be my choice.
How did you go about getting or pursuing the idea of getting this terrific Nexrad product that we've had for a number of years into the cockpit?
Well, we had really kind of pioneered radar work, obviously, and had been providing the radar information to the broadcast community. But really, the technology didn't exist until the early 2000s to reliably get weather information to the cockpit. There had been efforts at satellite delivery, and for the most part, it wasn't reliable because you either had to have a pretty good-sized dish to receive the signal, or the bandwidth was very, very minimal. And but along came XM, and their focus, of course, was not on the cockpit, but on being able to get their signal reliably to every automobile in America. And it turns out that it's the perfect vehicle for getting a reliable data stream to the cockpit. So what we did was approach XM shortly into the 2000s, and they really liked our focus on accuracy and timeliness, and we really liked their ability to distribute the information, and so it was sort of a partnership made in heaven. We had talked to and worked with all of the major avionics manufacturers, and as it turns out now, I think almost all of the general aviation manufacturers, aircraft manufacturers, and got an awful lot of input from them before we ever launched the product. And so I think what we came up with was a suite of products that don't overwhelm the pilot, but provide him with all of the information that he needs to make some proper interpretations and decisions in the cockpit.
Now, as I recall, you also developed the receiver to do this. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, actually, we developed the non-certified receiver, and Heads Up Technology developed the certified receiver.
Yeah, I was referring to the portable receiver there, which we have.
Yes, that was our contribution. I can remember Oshkosh, when was that, 2003, I guess it was, and we were the only guys there.
I remember it well.
You could get it on a laptop, and that was it.
In fact, that was the first time we tested it, and I'm very impressed with it. Running on the laptop, it was a little awkward, but it was great to have that weather picture flying into Oshkosh.
Yeah, well, I think that's one of the really nice things about the new receiver is that we eliminate a lot of the cabling and it becomes very flexible as what the user wants to do.
Bob, we read recently that Baron has been awarded a contract to upgrade 171 NexRad sites to dual polarimetric capability, which sounds just terrific, but what does it mean exactly?
Well, conventional radar gave us intensities, you know, rainfall intensities and location. And Doppler was a generational leap, which gave us the ability to look inside of a storm and look at movement. We could tell what the direction and speed of raindrops inside of a storm was, and it gave us information about shear, for instance, and vorticity and the movement inside of a storm. Dual polarity is actually sending out two different signals. The standard horizontal signal, which comes back in the horizontal, and we add a vertical signal, and which comes back in the vertical, and we compare those two returns, and it actually allows us to see what the precipitation type is. In other words, we can tell whether it's rain, whether it's drizzle, whether it's hail, whether it's grapple, whether it's snow, and that performs two major brand new functions. One is that we have a much, much better accumulation product. We can tell rain rate much more accurately because it's actually looking at the type of precipitation that exists. It also gives us precise information about hail at the same time. But the other capability that is provided is the ability to define where the snow line is, where precipitation is freezing, and we have been a leader in the implementation of dual polarity radars in the broadcast community. As a matter of fact, I am pleased to say that every single broadcast dual pole radar in the world is a Baron radar. But the Weather Service liked what we were doing and has given us the contract to upgrade all of their 171 radars to dual polarity. And I am extremely excited about being able to facilitate the nearly 30 years of research that the government's been undertaking with regard to dual pole and implementing it into the product. I'm also very excited about the prospect of not only being able to deliver the data to the cockpit, but we're really going to be responsible for the data that goes to the cockpit.
Maybe I'm jumping the gun here a little bit, but I can imagine this might be a product that a pilot could use to examine a storm system or a precipitation area for freezing rain?
That is correct. More so for being able to define a snow line, for being able to define with great accuracy hail. But the combination of what we're looking at on dual pole and an understanding of what the temperatures are at altitude give us a much better handle on freezing rain as well.
Tell us a little bit about the recent upgrades to the WeatherWorks product.
Well, our major upgrade has been in the area of Canadian weather information. We have been able to introduce the Canadian weather products. I think this is up to about 55 degrees north, but it includes Canadian radar, the METARs and TAFs, and also Puerto Rican radar. Now, there is a little bit of a difference in what we're getting in the way of radar information between the U.S. and Canada. We're not mixing the two products. The Canadian radar is available only in 10 minute intervals, whereas the U.S. radar is available to us at 5 minute intervals.
What do you think we might see in Datalink in the next 10 years?
I think we are embarking on just a great new area with the dual pole radar. If you think back when NEXRAD first came on the scene, there were a couple of definite advantages of Doppler over a conventional type of radar, but we really didn't know all the wonderful things that a Doppler radar could provide in the way of capabilities until we started actually using them. And that was, well, gosh, they're called WSR-88D, so they were commissioned back in 1988. Was that 20 years ago?
Just about.
It's taken us 20 years to get to this next level of performance, and I believe that there's going to be a major learning curve with regard to the dual pole. And what it's going to do is to provide more and more precise information, particularly as to exactly what's going on at different altitudes. We could guess, and we have in the past, as to where the freeze line might be, but you can actually see it with the dual pole radar.
I can see that would be of considerable value to an instrument pilot.
Yes, the technology as it unfolds is going to provide some substantial assistance in particularly winter-type situations.
Bob Barron, president of Barron Services. You've been listening to our continuing podcast series on the latest in aviation products and services from Aviation Consumer Magazine. For breaking general aviation news, log on to avweb.com. Comments on this audio cast welcome at audionews@avweb.com. Thanks for listening.